Welcome to Girls Who Read Porn. Please be advised that this podcast contains mature content for mature audiences. The title might have given that away, though. We would also advise you triple check the trigger warnings of each book prior to the episode. And if it's not for you, we'll see you next week. Each episode includes major spoilers, so make sure you read the book and don't say we didn't warn you. With all that in mind, on with the show.
Alrighty, guys. Welcome to another episode of Girls Who Read Porn. You are here with your favorite person and two extras. I'm Ola and I'm here with George and Betty. How are you guys?
Hello. Apparently good. Not people's favorites.
Yeah, super happy to be referred to as an extra.
You're welcome. Yeah. I haven't spoken to you guys in so long. How are we all? What's the latest? What's happening?
Nothing. It's turning into winter here, so I feel like Betty and I are going into hibernation mode.
We are going
to it's still warm here.
Yeah,
I'm still in the t-shirt situation.
All right.
I will.
Keep it
to yourself. But we're kind of like that until maybe like mid to end of April.
We don't have like, it just like one day you wake up and it's sunny and then one day you wake up and it's the middle of winter.
Yeah. That kind of happened to us last week. I was in the office and I had to call my mum to come and drop off a scarf because I was like not coping. I was like, Mom, leave your work and come to me. And she did. Bless her cotton socks. Very sweet of
her. Yeah, I'm feeling a lot of like urgency when I'm knitting at the moment because I'm like, it's almost upon us. More scarves, more beanies.
Amazing.
Me and George had this moment yesterday. So like, George and Dane went fishing, and Dane caught some fish. And then we spent the evening, like, filleting and preparing the fish. And I had, like, this weird, like, call back to, like, my biological roots. Like, men catch fish.
Would you say
we're
fulfilling our roles in the hunter-gatherer society?
Yeah. Oh, my God, that's so funny. Yesterday, did you see my story yesterday?
No, what was it?
Josh caught me a fish. And at 6 a.m. of a fish going, I'm bringing this home for you. And I was like, I feel like this is you trying to be romantic.
Yeah, man.
Since we last spoke, I am now in my 30s. I'm no longer 30.
You are 30.
Slightly devastated.
31, sorry.
I'm 31. I know, it's such a shit age.
Still it's, like, it's very early 30s still, isn't it?
Very early, but it's very quick.
I remember you literally having your 30th birthday party like yesterday.
2 weeks ago? Me too. I know. Life is moving.
It is.
At a rapid pace.
Very quickly.
At a disgusting pace. Mm-hmm. Thank you, life.
I'll be 25.
What are we talking about today? Huh?
I'll be 25 this year.
Oh, fuck off. I don't even want to hear it. All right, so today, I'm not even entertaining that conversation because it's not something that I even want to talk about, okay? I can't handle that. Good for you. Whatever. I wish I was 25 this year. I was 24 when I met Josh. I was 24 when I met Josh. The first birthday we celebrated together was when I turned 25, but we met only like 2 months after I turned 24. Our 7-year anniversary comes up in May this year. Oh my God, that makes me so ill. He took my whole 20s. Why did I let that happen?
He stole them.
He took the whole second half of them at least.
Stole them, fucking bitch.
Yeah, I met Dane when I was 20. Well, I mean, like, I already knew him, but we started dating when I was 20, and I'll be 26 this year.
Oh my God, he's stealing your 20s.
That's the
As somebody that has had nobody steal their 20s, I gotta say, it's pretty fucking good. Sucks at you guys. Oh. I'm joking. There's no difference.
No, I don't think it does. I think you just like grow up a little bit differently.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do I regret it? Not really, but in some ways I do because I wouldn't mind, I don't know, sowing my seed around the world a bit.
Are you fucking kidding me? I'm in the dating pool and it sucks ass.
Yeah, but I would have traveled a lot more, like probably lived overseas a bit more. But instead I ended up settling down and now
you've got roots.
I've got roots and shit, and now I can't just pick up and be like, oh, I want to move to Canada tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't
I'm
have those
considering it.
desires.
Bye.
I do. I definitely do. That's the only thing. But I know that if I said to Josh, I want to go to Canada tomorrow for 12 months, he'd be like, yeah, go have fun.
Yeah.
So what are you
So
complaining
I know
about?
that
Why
was the
aren't you in
option.
Canada?
Because if I was in Canada, I would want to go and find a lumberjack and get destroyed.
You would
A
need to
gem
have
away
like the full
mountain man.
Canadian experience.
Yeah, like I can't just go there for half the experience.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, anyway, whatever. We're talking about one of the first books that I read when I started reading romance, and it's The Kiss Quotient by Helen Hong, Huang?
Huang?
Helen
Huang?
Huang, yeah.
Yeah. I'll read the blurb first just because it's on my Kindle because I'm using my phone for this, so I'm going to have to lift up this bad boy. But Stella Lane thinks mathematics is the only thing that unites the universe. She comes up with algorithms to predict customer purchases, a job that has given her more money than she knows what to do with, and far less experience in the dating department than the average 30-year-old. Well, see, you still have hope, Betty. It doesn't help that Stella has Asperger's. I don't mean that bit. And French kissing reminds her of a shark getting its teeth cleaned by pilot fish. Her conclusion, she needs a lot of practice with a professional, which is why she hires escort Michael Fan. Gorgeous and conflicted, Michael can't afford to turn down Stella's offer and agrees to help her check off all of the boxes in her lesson plan, from foreplay to more than missionary position. Before long, Stella not only learns to appreciate his kisses, but to crave all of the other things he's making her feel. Their no-nonsense partnership starts making a strange kind of sense, and the pattern that emerges will convince Stella that love is the best kind of logic. Oh, I love a
Lovely.
rom-com. I know that you guys hate it, but whatevs. What do we want to rate it?
I gave it like 3 stars.
I'm gonna give it like a 3.5.
Yeah, okay. I gave it like a 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I love a rom-com. And I haven't read, I feel like last year we didn't do very many rom-commy things.
No,
So I
because I
missed it
think
a little
we did a
bit.
lot in our first year,
Yeah,
and then
so
we
we
were
had
like,
to
no.
counteract it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not that I'm bringing it back hard. I feel like we just need to find a
No,
good
I
balance
get
of it
that.
so
I mean,
that,
like,
yeah.
yeah.
We're
And
gonna.
they are like, they are nice reads. It's like a
They
nice
are.
They're quick.
kind of break,
Yeah.
almost. Yeah.
And they're not very long.
But I feel like you read a rom-com quicker than you read a dark romance, even if it's the same amount of pages.
Yes.
There's something about it,
Because it doesn't make you want to gouge your eyes out from stress.
But I don't
Like
think I've
some
ever
of the
felt
books that
that
we
much
read last
feelings.
year, no, but like some of the books last year, I honest to God felt like I was so stressed all the time. Do you not remember?
Emotionally
I
fucked.
was emotionally like traumatized. I remember the first time in the first year when we read Strangers in My Bed, I was on the phone to George for an hour going, I can't handle
Okay, but
this.
that was
Yeah,
like a
that was a
big,
rough
that
one.
was a big star.
Yeah, that was in our, that was like one of our first episodes.
Yeah,
It
that was.
was our first author episode, and
Yeah.
I called George and I'm like, what the fuck have we done?
Yeah,
that
Yeah.
was like a big, like a punch in
So
the teeth.
stressed.
Like in
Yeah,
regards to
that was
dark
aggressive.
romance.
But I actually really enjoy romance. I love Lucy Score, except for that, like, things we never got, things that never happened or whatever it was. That one, not a huge fan. But the rest of them, like, I love. But the reason why I hated Lucy Score was one because I had to pay fucking $15 for it. I'm
Oh, I
never going to do
remember.
that
How could we
again.
forget? How could we ever forget?
I still think about that. I like still now when I go on Kindle and I see a book that's like above like $10, I'm like, dude, like I pay
Hey,
less for a paperback.
on that vein, I gave my mate an old Kindle, and
Yeah.
I was like going through to like get some books on for her to read because she likes smart as well. And I, went through all the classics. You know, pucking around is no longer free.
Is it not?
It's been taken off Kindle Unlimited.
Emily Rath.
Yeah, there was
But
also
it
a
stayed on
warning.
Kindle Unlimited for such a
I
long
love
time.
that you
Oh,
went to that though.
also PenPal. PenPal is no longer free.
Oh.
Do you know what? This is what happened with things we never got over, whatever the fuck it's called, because they get so popular that then they like start off on Kindle and then they
Yeah.
start like monetizing it. But the thing is, I'm not going to want to read it again because I read it for free the first time. And the first time I read Things We Never Got Over, it was 5 stars for me. The second time when I had to pay $14.99 for it, it was not.
Yeah, well, yeah. I was really excited
it made the whole
for her to read.
Fucked for me.
I was really excited for her to read Talking Around in Pen Pal because I think those are like the peak of like introductory to smart novels. You know what I mean? Like it's a bit
yeah,
of both.
Like good vibes for both of them.
Yeah, well,
she's
like,
kind of into spooky shit.
Yeah, she loves spooky shit.
Okay, that's fair enough. Because yeah. I was about to say most people wouldn't go in hard on Pen Pal first.
Yeah, but she like reads. She does. She's not. She's a reader. Like she reads a lot of like fantasy and like she's reading like all the Terry Pratchett books and like she loves all that kind of creepy stuff. So I was like Pen Pal, perfect. And then pucking around because it's like it's so easy to read and it's like it really sucks you in.
Yeah, and it's fantastic. It's actually such a good read. I think about it often where I'm like, do I want to go back?
But you know you can't because it's not free anymore.
No, and now I'm not going to like it.
No, it's like a.
And do you know what pisses me off about pucking around? The second book was not a reverse harem. You can't go from a reverse harem to single because
oh,
that's
I
what it's the same
way.
As do you remember when we spoke to Gemma Weir and she was like, oh, I wrote all of these like MC books to start with and I thought that it, like I had a mad setup and everyone was going to move into my mountain ones, but that's not what happened because everyone who reads MC only reads MC and
yeah.
I feel like that's the same thing with reverse harem where if you start off with reverse harem, you're reverse harem now.
Yeah.
You're going to disappoint the crowd.
It is weird, like, how people really stay in their lane with smart, eh? Like, because I feel like we're all pretty diverse. Like, we
yes.
read a lot of different
but
types
I think we're
of
forced
But it depends
diverse.
On the author. I have definite expectations from certain authors. That's why from Emily Raphael is like, I expect reverse harem.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, like when I read Jade West, I don't expect to read a freaking romance novel.
Yeah, you would be confused if like Runex came out with like a rom-com.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. It may not be as extreme, but to me it was like, okay, like
yeah.
It's not as kinky.
Yeah.
But yeah, she got a lot of backlash about that.
Well, that's
yeah,
kind of unfair.
About taking off Kindle Unlimited.
No, yeah. About not doing the second book as a reverse harem.
Which is kind of unfair.
It's not.
I think it is. I think
it's
should,
a little bit unfair.
As an author, I think you should be able to just write what you want. Like, I would rather an author write a book that they're passionate about than they want to write than force themselves to stay in this,
like
box
a shitty
and then
series
just keep
or something.
Reproducing, like, the same shit. Like,
yeah.
If she's not passionate about it, then, like, don't write it. Like, I don't want to force her to write a reverse harem novel if that's not what she wants to write because it'll just be like a repetition of pucking around because she doesn't have any passion or desire to write it.
Yeah.
That's totally true. Let's talk about the kiss quotient. So the interesting thing about this book, and it leads me back to Jackie Walker, is that we read about a neurodivergent female in this book, and both of the authors actually have children who are neurodivergent, and it's kind of in a weird way their dream for their children to find love. That's what they write at the end of both of the books, like this is the ideal world for them. Maybe not to the extent that happens in this book because it's a little bit of a weird way, but like it's amazing that for them it's that link to find their dream that their children will one day just be accepted as people who can be loved normally like anyone else, which they can be.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Josh is on the spectrum. I'm not saying that to be fucking hilarious, but I'm just saying that like in general, I'm pretty sure he is. He's socially demented.
No, they say
in
that
so many different ways.
Everybody's a little bit deficient
I think I
in
am.
Something.
Yeah. What did we like about it?
I liked the vibe. I think the vibe was good and I really liked the relationship between Stella and Michael. Like their interactions were always like super good, I reckon.
It was very cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was sweet. It was sweet. It was like a non-offensive representation, which I think is always nice.
I'm so happy to hear that. I was so fucking stressed. I was like, why did I choose this book? Something in there is going to offend Betty.
No, it was a non-offensive, apart from the fact when they said she has Asperger's, because we don't use that word anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. In the States, they still do.
Yeah, which is kind of dodgy because Asperger's was created by a Nazi doctor, so we use autism spectrum disorder. But other than that, it was like a pretty. It was like a.
I definitely felt awkward reading out the word Asperger's because I know that we don't use it in Australia, but in the States, like, I've pulled people up about it. I'm like, we don't use that word here. And they're like, no, what do you mean? It's just normal.
Not quite.
But yeah.
I liked it because I remember the first time I read it, I was like, this is not what I was expecting. I've not come across a story like that.
I didn't.
Normally it's the other way around.
Didn't find it to be a smart novel.
Yeah, it was more of a romance than a smut. Like, there were smutty scenes in it, but it was more of a romance novel, really, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I thought the storyline was quite inventive.
Yeah.
Especially when, because she came in quite early into the smut scene. Like, this is one of the first books that came out when the smut, like, started becoming really popular. And to come up with a story like that firsthand, I think is quite interesting.
It has that, like, that tone, that the first few kind of, like, really popular romance novels got, like, kind of recently. Because it was, like, the Kiss Quotient and fucking, Megan Quinn's.
Love Hypothesis, Ali Hazelwood, all of
those ones, like that sort of like really, like once TikTok sort of became a thing, like those were the ones that people were initially talking about, and it has that vibe. Like, it reminded me a lot.
Unoffensive, you know what I mean? Like,
this, go on.
I was just saying, it's like really digestible. It's like not, it doesn't push any boundaries. It's not taboo. Like, it's very vanilla, regular, consent-driven sex.
Yeah. And also, it's the only kind of book that makes me not hate that it's been on TikTok. And the reason why is because it organically went onto TikTok when BookTok came around. And people chose to put it on there. They weren't asked to put it on there.
Yeah. It's like things like this that makes us trust BookTok. Because initially, like, BookTok and, like, Bookstagram were really good places to get, like, book recommendations, because it was just people's, like, genuine opinions. And then it's just like in the past year or so that it seems to have changed.
Yeah, it's just advertising recently.
It's completely changed. Every single one of the people who are posting in, and I know some personally, Bank Book Club, they're part of, like TikTok groups and Facebook groups where they get paid a certain amount of money if their posts get a certain amount of likes and, you know, and it's like, do you love it? I don't know.
Yeah,
that hasn't
because
quite
I can't
hit.
Take you seriously because you're getting paid for it.
That hasn't quite hit the taboo, dark romance section yet. That's still very like unfiltered.
Probably the other day, can't pay.
Other day I was looking through like a Facebook group that I'm a part of, and one of them was like, it was like looking for wrecks where like a dad falls in love with his daughter, and I was like. Okay.
Classic. I feel like anytime when you see people like recommending people like Kay Webster or like Penelope Douglas, then you just go like, yeah, like that's like a genuine recommendation. Like,
I think it's gonna be a specific type of book because I remember speaking to Gemma Weir and she was like, oh, do you think I should do some advertising? And I was like, do you not advertise now? And she's like, I have 200 followers on my Instagram. It advertises itself. Like, I've not done a single thing. And I'm like, how the fuck are you doing this, woman? Like, how does your book get out there? So they do very minimal, but because of word of mouth, their books do get, like, well read.
Yeah.
Well, it's a catch-22, right? Because you want these, like, kind of shitty books, the books that we wouldn't read, to sell so that there's more money in the publishing industry, so the books that we like come out.
Yeah,
right? It's a big like.
But
it's
would
a big
be
circular
better if
system.
The books that we liked sold, and then it did create all of that room for better books that we liked instead of just shit books
getting
attention.
Yeah, but the books that we like are the books that publishing houses don't support. Like, you know, like they get like a little bit of money.
So like,
because
like we mainly like indie publishers. Well, right? Like indie publishing is like a fantastic thing, and we've always supported it. But the thing with indie publishing is that, like, if anybody can do it, not everybody's going to be very good if you don't have, like, a professional opinion all the time.
Yeah.
But then you get the fucking
I have such a fucking hate for editors at the moment.
Why?
Everyone's a fucking editor now. Yet nobody can edit. Half of the shit that we're reading is unedited. But anyway, God, I'm not going to get into that. We'll be here for 2 years. What did we not like?
Ooh, I got a few issues.
I have one, and I'm pretty sure mine is this one of the same as Betty's. But it's there was like a weird amount of like casual sexual assault, not by the main male character, but by another man in her life. There was just like weird amounts of it, lots of past references to like sexual assault too, like that passed off like it was just a normal like. Yeah. I guess, like, sensory thing that she was experiencing. Like, just that.
Can I ask a question? Yeah. I don't know how to ask this without sounding like a complete dick, so please correct me. I just don't want to sound like a dick. Yeah. Do you think that it could have been written that way because maybe she socially didn't understand the ramifications of what he was doing
because that was like her understanding, then to her that is what happened, right?
Okay,
so it's like, so it's still like a completely valid experience because it's her that it happened to.
So even if she doesn't, but also okay. even if she doesn't fully understand the context of sexual assault, it is within mm-hmm. the author's it's for the author
responsibility.
Yeah, the author's responsibility to both imply that this character does not have the experience or the understanding to acknowledge that it's sexual assault, and then use another character to address it so that the audience who is reading the book is aware that it is sexual assault.
Yeah, because to me, it maybe I read it differently, but to me it just seems like she maybe didn't understand it.
Which is completely fine. Is how I read it. If that's in character, but it is on other characters or other people in the book to define it as sexual assault, so the audience is very clear that it is.
Okay, no, that's fair enough. Creating boundaries and parameters around certain behaviours.
Yeah, and then, like, even just, like, you know, like, like the description of, like, events and things that happen, if they are just, like, a clear-cut description of events from her point of view, like, even, like, you know, as a reader who, like, doesn't have autism, doesn't exist in that space, like, if those things happened to anyone, it would be considered sexual assault, right?
Yeah.
Like, grabbing somebody, forcing them to stay still. Mm. You know, like, things like...
I just want to make it clear, I don't think it's okay. I was just trying to...
No,
no, I understand what you were saying.
It was because it came, like, out of nowhere. That was what I didn't like about it, was that it was, like, it was really confronting and it came out of nowhere. It just didn't fit the vibe of the book at all.
And then it, like, nothing was ever done about it. It was just, like, this thing...
No resolution, Yeah.
We definitely love it when things are tied up in a bow as a group.
Yeah. Like, that guy, I think, in another book would have been, like, pretty fucking villainous. You know, like, I think they would have been, like, more done about him. Whereas that guy was, like, punch of the month. And it's like, that's not like a solution. You know?
And if you're doing something quite innovative by having a neurodivergent lead character, then you can push that innovation to addressing sexual assault correctly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you have the sensitivity to even write that main character, then, like, I don't see why you can't have the sensitivity to also talk about sexual assault correctly.
Yeah, that's a good point.
No, fair enough. I think the one thing that I didn't like about it, I didn't... Oh, go ahead, Bea.
No, you can go. Mine's also a long...
Mine's very short. So how about we go long, short, long? the one thing that I didn't like about it is that when I first read it, I loved it. But now that I've read so many other incredible books, it's a little bit muted to me now. Like, rom-com is, like, I loved it 2-3 years ago. I was obsessive over it. But now that I've read, like, Pen Pal and, you know, Sea of Ruin and all of these Mariana Zapata books, which, by the way, I read every single one of her fucking books all over again after All Roads Lead to Here. I appreciate what it did for me when I first came into the romance community, but it doesn't hit the spot anymore. Like, it's not at the level.
Yeah. I feel like, as you broaden your taste, right, like, you get high standards.
Yeah.
You know, so like if you're reading books from genres that you normally wouldn't like that are like giving like hitting like 5 stars, then it's like if it's a genre you do like, then you're expecting a lot from it.
Yeah, and like recently I've been giving out, a lot of people ask me for my advice on books, which is really honestly so kind. And whenever I offer a book to them, they're like, we know that when we read this, it's going to be the best book we've ever read because you are so fucking harsh. Whereas everyone else will give 5 stars to everything. I'm like, no, that's not at the level. There are so many better levels out there. Like, and I was trying to explain this about H.D. Carlton. I'm like, she has a platform. And to me, she's kind of ruining it because she's not at the level, whereas she could be. And it's making a really, like, beautiful thing into a shit thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Don't want to be a bitch about it, but dem's the truth.
I feel like we've burned that bridge.
The bridge is I'm just saying, like, she's abusing the fact that she's got such an incredible group of people following her, and she could be at the level, but instead she's just, like, average.
But she doesn't have to be, because she gained her following organically through the level of writing that she was producing already, so they're not expecting any better.
But I think you've got to move with the time, no? Because before that was fine. Like 3 years ago, if we read that book, maybe we would have had a different like understanding of it, a different idea of it, because we hadn't read all of these amazing books in the meantime. But now it's like you got to move with the time, and you got to get to the level, or like fuck off.
But she has such a cool like following.
Leave room. I know, but then, like, leave room for other people. And let me tell you, her cult following is terrifying. We're either going to get shut down or, like, murdered in our sleep, or they're going to find our addresses. I don't know what the fuck is going to happen, but, yeah, I don't know. That's how I feel about people who have, like, when I think about Anna Huang, her books to me are at the level, but she's also moving with time. Like, I've read more recent books of hers, and they're getting better with time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got to get up there.
Yeah, you gotta stay on it.
Yeah, stay on it like a car bonnet. Anyway, B, can't wait for this.
Okay, this is a weird one, but my issue with the book is when I read smart novels, the expectation is that it kind of suspends reality for me, right? Like, it's like a different kind of, like, experience, something that I don't particularly either want to experience in person, or I won't have the opportunity to experience in person, and that's why you read it, that's why it's fictional. This book,
it's like escapism.
Are you planning to hire a male escort?
No, this book was so intimate and so real that it made me more uncomfortable than if I was reading a dark taboo romance. God.
You can't say that you're romantic if there's romance in your face and it just makes you unwell.
No, because it was intimate.
Vulnerable.
It made me feel. But that's the thing. It felt like it could have been someone's personal story, and I was a voyeur of someone's real life.
Okay, but can I just say something? That all of these books give us different feelings. Maybe this is just a feeling you don't like. Like, I hate sadness.
No, it's too intimate. Like, it's too real. It's too normal. It's like I could meet somebody tomorrow that could probably give me like a very similar story of them like struggling to like get through intimacy, and then like having an intimacy coordinator or a coach or something that supported through that journey. Like, this is a very close industry to me. I work with a lot of autistic people.
You won't do that again, then, Betty.
It was a very intimate, it was a very real life story, and it made me feel weird because it wasn't suspending reality for me. And it made me just think I was like reading like a personal account of someone's sex life.
No, fair enough.
too close to home.
It was just, it was too much for me.
That's funny. That's like a funny criticism. I didn't like it because I could relate to it too much.
Oh my god. Favorite sex scene?
I don't know if I have a favorite sex scene.
I think mine was when they were at his flat.
I was just thinking that for the first time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought like the sex scenes were all kind of like, it wasn't that they were bad. It was like they were all just kind of on par. There wasn't heaps of them. Like, there was a couple.
Yeah. But yeah, they were just kind of like the same thing.
Oh my god.
They were I did think, like, the sex scenes were, like, quite intimate, because, like, all of a sudden you've got this, like, very, like, logical, like, orderly main character, and then it flicks to, like, a sex scene, and you're like, wow, that's out the window.
And then you've also got, inner dialogue of being, like, overwhelmed and, like, having all of these feelings and not being comfortable with, like, the experience. So then, like, I don't know, like, I'm so used to, like these, like, really incredibly, I don't know, like, passion-enthralled romances where it's just, like, and she was ready to go. She was just, like,
Like, real confident.
No, but this is, like, the reality of it, right? Because sometimes you're
That's why I hate it.
You're so awkward and uncomfortable.
That's why it was awful to read.
Too real for Betty. Do you know what I actually really
felt like? I was gonna cry, and like, I don't know why. Like, it was really vulnerable.
It was just too intimate. It was like, I don't want to read about somebody having normal sex.
Well, like, when they had their big argument, like when he leaves her.
Yeah.
At dinner, I was like, am I gonna stop fucking crying? Like, it was real weird. I guess, like, that's a sign of a good writer.
That's so beautiful, guys. For the first time, I'm not the emotional Ellie.
No, you're not.
No, I just thought because it was a rom-com. I was like, oh, they're going to get back together.
You knew that, but, like, this is what I mean. Like, the normalness of it was strange.
Like, okay, we won't do that again.
This is what I mean. Like, you read shit tied to a roof. Someone's jerking off in a bathtub and drowning themselves.
We need a workout. We need to work out the fucking logistics of what we like, because we've gone from one extreme to the next. Mafia, fucking SAS guy on one extreme, and on the other extreme, things are too real. Like, we got to work out what is, like, a healthy mid-range.
I want a middle ground. He's like a bad boy who's, like, really mean, and, like, I wouldn't put him off in real life, but it's kind of hot when he, like, fucks her around in a book.
Yeah, it's
not enough therapy.
Not something that, like, you could conceive, like, one of your, like, friends telling you happened, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean.
Like, you want it to be, like, quite unrealistic.
I don't care. I'm either or with that. No, it pisses me off when things are so unrealistic.
Yeah.
I'm on the complete opposite spectrum. There's a fine line in the middle, you know, so unrealistic.
Like, I'm not going to escape from a cult and fuck a mute gang leader, but it was pretty hot to read about. or like I'm not, like,
do you want to join a cult tomorrow and try to find out?
I'm not gonna, like, meet a man who's 8 inches with a Prince Albert piercing, but I'll read about it.
You don't know about that girl. That could be real.
That's what I mean. Like, it could happen, but it probably won't. So I'm okay with reading about it.
Yeah, right. Like, it's low chance of it happening in real life. Okay.
But realistic enough that I can relate to it.
Yeah, but, like, I don't really care.
Assisting someone who's dealing with issues with intimacy, very normal experience for a lot of people.
Yeah.
whether they are on the spectrum or not, there'll be a lot of people that have intimacy issues that they feel like they need to get over and require support with. That's a very normal experience.
So I feel like the reason why I don't care is maybe because I don't have intimacy issues.
I don't have intimacy issues. But I know people who've had intimacy issues.
Yeah.
Or you'll speak to people who's like, oh yeah, like, I'm struggling with this or that or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe I'm just not as empathetic as I thought I was.
You're just a cold, hard, unfeeling person.
Yeah, maybe.
Or maybe.
Man, what a plot twist that would be. Like, Betty and I end up being, like, the real emotional, empathetic ones, and Ola's the one that's just, like, no.
I'm sensitive in some ways, but in other ways, I just don't give a shit.
Why would it be a plot twist that we're the most empathetic? We're in caring careers.
I literally work with dead people. Like, families whose families have died.
Okay, but that wasn't, like, that was only very recently. That was only a recent career change.
Yeah, you have to be empathetic to get the fucking job.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I don't think it's that surprising that I have...
Yeah. I like working with dead people, but, like, actually dead people and dying people.
Yeah. No, I work with them after they've seen you.
I don't want to be near them. I like people to be very... Oh, I like to work with the people that have caused the death.
God.
We're on three very different spectrums.
Yeah. We all work in the same industry, just different areas.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, that's true. That's true. I wanted to read an article, but then I realized that I'm on my phone and I can't read it. But it's about Fabio, the guy who was on all the book covers in the 80s and 90s.
Can you give me like a long story short?
Yeah, so he was like, he was found when he was 24 in like Italy somewhere, and they were like, we want you for book covers. And he was making like 160k per book cover when the Harlequin novels were the thing, right?
Okay, and someone get me.
And this was in the 90s. Late 80s, 90s, and he was the only guy. And I actually, everyone was always like, oh, Fabio on the cover. I never realized his name was actually Fabio.
Is that like why people talk about like, oh, Fabio? Like,
yes,
like it was him that
Fabio.
Made it.
Yeah,
oh
did you
God.
Not know that? I knew that.
No, yes. I always thought that like there was already like a Fabio, like people just called them like Fabio, and then he just like
no,
took it on because
I
he
thought.
Was a popular model.
No, he is. Fabio. He's the Fabio, and he's on something like, I don't know, 100,000 book covers or some shit. Like, this guy made cash
Maybe.
Money.
He's like not
and
that
then, hard. No, he's not.
He's so weird looking.
Wait, that's what I think.
He's so weird looking.
He's so strange looking.
So weird looking. You guys are not incorrect. Then he had some kind of freak accident that like damaged his face a little bit.
Oh, okay. Well,
and
God,
so
I don't mean now.
Do it anymore.
I know.
No.
I mean,
like, I was trying to, but you kept talking. And then, like, now he's like 65 looking for love, and he's never been in love before. So,
oh.
Fabio, the romance.
Like, cursed.
But
yes.
It was.
Oh,
he's like,
you're talking
gray or something.
What? I can actually tell you what the accident was. It was a roller coaster accident where he. The roller coaster stopped, and he like smashed his face into the bar. And then because the roller coaster like went out of business, he was like, they were like, oh, can you come back and like do the opening? And when he did the opening, a bird flew into his face.
What the hell?
I remember now. And he had like, and then it like fucked, and then the bird like flew under the roller coaster and it crashed again. So he had two roller coaster accidents on the same roller coaster. And then he could never model
like,
again.
God.
I know, and now
like,
Fabio's looking for love. But he's like, no woman will ever love me because I'm on book covers.
That's just not true.
Also,
the
just...
highest paying male model in history.
Yeah. Okay, but like, listen, like, a lot of Fabio books were synonymous with like, non-con. Like, dub-con.
Yeah.
So many,
you
especially
know what I
in
mean?
The late 70s.
There was a lot
yeah.
of
it was a
there
huge
was
it was
fan.
Like
yeah,
a massive
so I wonder if like
thing
that generation of that generation of women is like he was on the cover of all of those dirty books.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the and it's like not
but
a really good them. Like they love the books, but like
not even advertising
like,
your person though, is it?
Yeah, but you're suspending reality. Like what if they like
this guy
yeah,
has so
like,
many books, man.
Man.
We had one man in the 70s and it was Fabio.
I did not realize that it was actually Fabio though. That's what blows my mind.
Yeah.
He is
yeah.
Fabio.
He is.
And I thought everyone was just saying Fabio like some kind of fucking made up Italian name.
Yeah,
but
I thought it was like a
like,
mythical person.
Yeah.
No, it was just like,
no,
like the most
I
handsome,
had
right?
Have you ever
I swear when I came across that fucking newspaper article, I was like, there is no fucking way in this planet this is real and I need to talk about this immediately.
Have you
and
ever
I
seen
sent
his...
it in the chat.
Have you never seen
yeah.
his face before then?
No,
have,
I've seen him on all the
books. I realize his
covers.
Name
is
Fabio.
Yeah,
wow.
I didn't realize
so
that he was the Fabio.
I thought he was referred to as Fabio because it became this whole like phenomenon in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s or whatever that all women loved Fabio and like it was this whole thing. But no, the bloke's actual fucking name is Fabio.
Yeah, I know. He did
Fabio's
like a bunch of cameos and
that.
Like he's done like a bunch of like comedic things as well. Like he's really like. Pushed up the Fabio.
He was in like
thing.
An episode
Old
of Friends,
Spice.
I think.
Yeah, he was on
he was
Friends.
On Old Spice.
Like, he was on what? He was in lots of things. Yeah, he's really like milking it.
Yeah.
So
but
even
yeah,
though
no,
Fabio
he had that roller coaster accident and it ruined his life.
And then he went back.
Oh my god, and now, yeah, he went back, and now he's like, Fabio is looking for love, but nobody loves Fabio, and it's just, like, really depressing.
God.
You both can't complain.
I have a mighty fallen.
You can't complain about being Fabio and then, like, monetize Fabio at the same time.
Yeah.
And you're like, he had the opportunity, yeah. He could cut his hair. You know, he's still rocking, like, the look.
He's 65 now.
But that's what I'm saying, like, he's still, like,
to just settle down.
He's fulfilling the Fabio aesthetic. Like, he can cut his hair and, like, change his appearance.
They're not putting him on book covers anymore. That's what his problem is. He's like, Harlequin novels are not a thing. And it's like, honestly, it could not get off to Fabio.
Also, yeah, it's like, some people find love, some people get paid $160,000 for a book cover, you know?
Yeah.
Can you believe that? In the 80s.
You can't have everything.
Exactly.
He was so loaded. They say highest paid model of all time.
Yeah, because romance, right, has always been the highest selling genre. Like, even when it was like secret little, like, Harlequin novels.
Hideaway and read it, yeah.
Hideaway ones that you'd get from like newsagent shops, you know, like.
In the back of magazines.
The mid-year novels. Like, they always printed more of them than like so-called good novels.
Yeah.
Dude, always if you go to a book sale these days, you buy like, you can buy like, pallets of fucking Mills and Boone Harlequin novels. You can get them like $2. You see old ladies like lugging around.
When we read Detective Daddy, I thought I was gonna fucking shoot my eyes out.
We were right applause for Detective Daddy.
And I was so psyched for it too. And
it
was
really
so disappointed.
It was so good.
It was fucking horrid.
I could read it tomorrow and enjoy it as the same as
could.
I read it.
It was so weird.
It was just shit.
God. It was like exactly what I needed at the time when that was the first smart novel I've ever read. It is the history of this podcast. It's up there with Actor and The Creation.
Oh, fuck off. I feel like your first smart novel, because I can remember mine. Mine was by Olivia Cunning. Is always going to be so special to you.
Well, like, I don't remember, it was my first, like, proper novel. Like, I read a lot of fan fiction as a kid. Like, which was smutty.
Yeah.
But, like, that was my first actual novel.
No, but, like, when I read... Yeah. The one that I read first was hardcore. I was like, what the fuck am I doing right now? It's mental. It's called Sinners on Tour, and I read the whole box set because it was $1.99. It was $1.99 on... Kindle, but it used to be, but now it would be like $10 or something, right?
Yeah,
like because it's become
might be
popular
free on
again.
Kindle Unlimited. Has it actually?
Might be.
Maybe.
But yeah,
we should
just
push for a Detective
so
Daddy
funny.
Resurgence.
I'm okay without that.
Bring it back.
I don't remember my first smart novel because I can only really remember reading like fan fiction. I can't remember my first smart novel. It would have been a fantasy one, I think. I think it might have been, like, the Throne of Glass series.
I think it
Jemini
was the Throne of Glass series.
I didn't get smutty until, like, book four.
I think it would have been, because you were reading the Throne of Glass series around the same time that I was reading After.
Yeah.
And then that's when we, like, were, like, smart novels.
Yeah, they were, like...
What?
Good stuff.
I feel like After is so ingrained into my brain, if we did an episode about it, I wouldn't need to reread it because I remember every fucking dumb thing that happened in that
book. Yeah, man.
It's one of those things where I came across a novel the other day and I'm like, have I read this before? I can't remember it. And once I started reading it, I like remembered the plot line. I cannot physically get the fucking plot line out of my head from After. No matter
Speaking of how hard
I try, there is so much room. So many better fucking things to read, and I'm stuck
like
with
a little,
after
like trauma there. Memory.
Oh,
speaking about
God.
Like, speak, okay, like I have a bone to pick with Anna Todd, right? So she is releasing a new book series at the moment, and I've read the first two, and it's called like The Falling.
Right.
I take that back. That was mean. That was a bad joke. Okay. But, like, so she's, like, released The Burning, and then she's released The Falling. So, like, what would you guess the third book should be called?
Burning, Falling, Flying.
Or some, like, you know, something along those lines, right? In that same kind of vibe.
That's
guess what the third book's called?
Your mum's a bitch.
The infinite light of dust.
Wait, what?
We have the burning, the falling, the infinite light of dust.
Huh?
Yeah. Somebody needs to, like, give her some advice, eh?
I don't know who the fuck these people work with. Let me go back to the editing comment that I made earlier. Because something is very disconnected recently.
Yeah, she's so much disconnect. She's with a huge publisher.
Yeah. They obviously are not paying people properly or just finding, I don't know, people on fucking, what's that thing called? Five, whatever.
Upwork.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know. I'm fucking Airtasker. To edit things. Like, what is happening?
Do you think of the publishing company, they're just like, oh, it's just romance. It's just Anna Todd. Just do whatever you want. Give the intern to her.
Have the money.
It's like they're going on fucking Gumtree.
You literally could have done anything. You could have been like, the
Craigslist is the Gumtree version of
You know what would have been a great one? The burning, version. The falling, you can't do the shining, actually.
The fucking flying, the upside downing, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
The lightning, the whatever.
But the infinite light of dust. What does that mean?
Yeah, that's pretty terrible.
What does that mean?
It's called like the dusting.
Have you been reading these books?
I have been reading. I've read the first two. I'm waiting for the infinite light of dust to come out.
How were the first two?
They were good. I like them. They're different. They're a military romance. They're like, completely different vibe to after. It's like a really stable, like, happy relationship. It's just them trying to navigate. Like,
trauma about military now. I'm done with military romances.
This one's good he's trying to leave the military, but her dad is like the captain and he's not letting him leave, and like she refuses to date like men that are in the military. She doesn't want to deal with the trauma of like that. So like they're trying to make their relationship work while he's also trying to get out of the military. Oh, and her brother has an addiction, obviously. Just to throw that in there. So she's also dealing with her brother's addiction. Yeah.
Anna Todd doesn't do shit like, does she? She fucking loves it. What are we doing next week? I tried to read it on the calendar, but there was only one word, and I wasn't sure if I put that in my diary to remind me of something, or if it was an actual
The railing, they were doing railing, railed by the Easter Bunny?
Railed by the Easter Bunny.
No, the week after that.
Oh, the week That's after that. It is just one word in the calendar, because the book name is just one word.
Can you send me the author's
Ranger.
Name?
Yeah. Ranger.
Ranger by Rebecca Sharp.
Okay,
the author's
cool.
name is the author's name is in there, in the note in the calendar.
Oh, I don't open it. Maybe I should do that.
Just open it, and then also and it says Rebecca Sharp, and then it says B beside it because it's Betty's book.
Oh, for fuck's sake, Ola! Oh my God, you're so smart, G. I never look at that.
I mean, sometimes
also,
I forget
who's reading. I'm really sorry, Ola, but the Ranger is some sort of like Academy CIA book.
Because you had a great history with those ones,
oh my
don't
God.
You?
I know for a fact I'm going to fucking hate this because you have either not read it and read some fucking...
I have read it.
Yeah, and you've read some read fucking it. Reviews on it, which are all lies. And
one of the reviews said...
Even though...
No, the author advertises it as Spencer from Criminal Minds getting his happy ending.
Oh...
That's
I so highly doubt that.
Well, that's how she advertised it. And Spencer, like the Matthew Gray Goobler, like the character, the actor that plays
He's
Spencer,
like your
he
wet
was like
dream.
He was like my first ever crush. Yeah.
I'm not surprised. I literally know. I don't even know who Spencer is when I say the name, but I knew immediately who you were talking about. Just
you're the gangly nerdy one.
Taste. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got like savant syndrome.
Like crosswords in his eyes and shit like that. Like he's Yeah, I knew straight up. You didn't even have to tell me who. That's
so I'm
beautiful.
Very excited.
We will be reading what's the girl's name who wrote it?
Okay, I only read the novella for it.
That's all we're
reading. Yeah, that's all we're doing.
Okay, good. Because
I thought it was a full length book, and then I opened it, and then I was like 25%
pages.
Dahlia Davies.
Stoked, mate. I was Sally like, how much of a fucking bunny rabbit can I take? But then I was like, do I want to read the next book? And then I was like, absolutely fucking not. There's 50,000 other things I would prefer to read.
I tried to
books in this series.
I was going to read the next book, and then it's like 300 pages, so I didn't.
That's why. If it was another 60-page book, I would have been like, okay, I can probably commit
to this. That's what Bea was saying as well. She was like, if it was like a novella series, perfect.
Yeah, I would have committed to the whole thing.
The drawing in it. Jump scare, because I genuinely forgot he was a rabbit.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
Because I called him Jack.
I was like reading it quite fast, so you know, you're flipping through.
Okay. Is the rabbit's name Jack?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jack Rabbit.
Jack Rabbit, yeah, man.
Yeah. Have you not read it yet?
I have. I just forgot, because I read it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so you're reading it and you're like, oh, Jack, normal person, like they're not really referencing that he's like a furry rabbit or something, and then it's like photo.
Except for the fact that they talk about his tail and his massive dick.
And they talk about
once they get into it, they don't really talk about it, do they?
Yeah.
I kind of ignored that part, if I'm honest.
I forgot too. I completely forgot. And then she started talking about his long front teeth, and I was like, I can't make that hot in my mind. And I just like erased that from my mind.
That's what I did.
You know what? I can't even remember that, probably because I got PTSD from reading it. But anyway, we can talk about it next week.
We should screenshot the photo, like the drawing in the book, and then
I
put
feel
it on
like
our Instagram story.
Happen. Just randomly now before people listen to this episode. Should I do that today?
Yeah.
And just put up a photo of a rabbit fucking a chick, just randomly.
It's like, it's not explicit, yeah. I don't think. It's like pretty tame. It's just a full-size rabbit hybrid man that I was not expecting.
It's so funny. Oh my god, some of the shit that we're reading this year is ridiculous. I am, like, we've done Doorknob and Rabbit, and it's like March ended 2 days ago. Like, can we calm down a little bit?
It's pretty bad.
Seems a bit extra.
I think we should keep up
with
this.
I know, Betty's on a fucking rampage with this shit.
It's pretty funny.
We should keep up with the silly seasonal novellas.
If it's 60 pages and less, I'm down.
That's what I mean.
I'll read anything for 60 pages and less. Because you can't even get into a book by that point, and by the time it's over, I'm like, okay, the torch is done.
Yeah.
But just for the holidays, you know? A little bit of seasonal fun.
Yeah.
I don't know what's next.
Yeah, that pillow was really, like, themed. Super festive.
Yeah. Railed by the Easter Bunny.
No, the pillow one. That wasn't, like, a holiday one.
What was the pillow one?
The pillow one, there was just one that you wanted to read. What didn't happen for holiday? It wasn't, like, a festival. You just wanted to read it.
Oh my god.
Because I'm getting to the point in reading Smut where I feel like I've read it all and it's just being recycled.
You're pushing the limits.
Have I been banned from my next book?
What is it?
Spanish Love Deception.
You're allowed to do it. No, you're allowed to do it, but you just can't do it right after you've done the Love Quotient.
Okay, but have I put in enough books? Or do I need to add
just
more?
Put in some more. Just put in some more and I'll
okay,
we'll
I'll do
it.
That. I feel like we need to have a board meeting, guys.
Yeah, I know.
I'm too busy. Yeah, who gives a shit? See you
Can we do
week.
It in like 8 weeks?
Yeah. I have too much going on for the next month.
Like eight weeks is a great time for me.
I've got two assignments.
I'll be on my break.
You've got two assignments. Yeah, one of them's called Treat Them Mean, Keep Them Keen, the critical analysis of the bad boy trope in erotic romance fiction.
Oh my god. I kind of want to read it, but I don't, because I know I'm just going to roll my eyes the whole time.
You have to read it.
I know. Should we review it for one of the episodes? Oh my god,
No, because it's going to be so academic and boring. It's an academic review of the bad boy.
Oh, fuck. When are we getting your dad on?
Not a bad boy, by the way.
No! I'm thinking about all the shit, random shit that we've got planned for this year for episodes, and I'm like, that's another random episode.
I don't know.
I feel like I just don't think, like, he's gonna be legible.
Just ask him yes or no questions for 50 minutes straight.
It'll just be me and my dad arguing.
Watch Biddy get more.
I want to watch this live. All right, guys. Let's read Railed by the Easter Bunny next week, and the week after that, some stupid fucking book about the military.
Don't
or some
start.
Shit.
Don't fucking start.
I have to. I love. You know what? We need a little bit of entertainment in our lives. And everyone messages us saying that they love it when we argue, and I just think, yeah, me too.
No, it stresses me out. I need this to be my relaxing time.
This is my first proper book of the year.
It is.
It is.
Because the other books have just been fucking a doorknob and a bunny. So.
Jesus
be
Christ.
Patient with me.
I will be, babes. I will be. Now I got to go find another book for us to read because I'm not allowed to read the Spanish Love Deception so close after the kiss quote to it.
You can't because they came out around the same time.
You could try reading Raven Hood.
They feel similar in my mind.
I have so many swear words I want to use at you right now. Just leave me alone. Bye. Love you guys. Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Girls Who Read Porn. Follow us at Girls Who Read Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And for all business inquiries, please send us an email on girlswhoreadporn@gmail.com. Art created by Jessica Wanney and music made by Dane Forgy Stevens. See you next week and stay smutty, team.